God, who on this day didst instruct the hearts of the faithful by the light of the Holy Ghost, grant us in the same spirit to relish what is right and ever rejoice in his consolation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. There is an old legend that in the midst of a vast field, there were two large springs that sprung up and poured out great multitudes of water. The first spring had its waters flow out from its source, and they formed seven streams which spread out over the land, and they produced wonderful fruit because the waters irrigated the land well and the crops grew very strong there. The waters were also very safe to drink, but however, sometimes it would be found that those who came to drink of the waters would find them with a bitter taste at times. But despite this, if one could bear the bitter taste of the waters on occasion, persons who came to drink frequently found that the stream and the fountain produced miraculous effects. The old found themselves rejuvenated and youthful and filled with energy again. The ugly and deformed were made handsome, and their injuries were healed. Those who had been struck with disease, they found themselves often healed. Those who were downtrodden and sad, they were filled with joy. And even the poor would find their wealth increased by drinking at the stream. The second stream that flowed, it too was large and had a great abundance of water. And it scattered the water all about the land. And this spring produced water that every time it was tasted was delectable. It tasted so wonderful. It was filled with a sweetness of flavor, as if it had been sweetened by honey itself. But those who drank of the second fountain found that this pleasure only lasted a period of time. And afterwards, it would come about that they would be struck by stomach pains and sickness and vomiting and sometimes even death itself. What was remarkable, that people came from far and wide hearing about these two springs. And some of them certainly came and drank of the first spring. But there was a very large number who decided to drink of the second spring instead, not being able to turn themselves away from the sweet, delectable flavor. In the legend, the first spring with its seven streams, it represents the sacraments of the church. They are not always what we naturally desire, but they always produce good for the person. The second spring, it represents the deceitful joys and pleasures of the earth. Delightful and desirable, appealing to our nature. But it is only in that first instant that those delights take place, that those pleasures take hold. But the more we drink of the second stream, the more harm it does, the more danger it poses, and the potential for death even awaits. Today is Pentecost. And on this very day, the church is born. And the apostles, they are enlightened by the Holy Ghost, and they are filled with that Spirit, and they are given all truth, and they are given these great, extraordinary gifts. And they go out and they begin to preach immediately, sharing this wealth with everybody around them. They call all who will hear to a life of grace, to embrace the faith, and to come to the sacraments, which they will now start to offer, to provide from the hands of these first priests and bishops a wellspring of graces for the people. Yes, if those who listen to the words of the apostles follow after them, it will require a change of life. It will require at times sacrifices to be made, and perhaps, especially with persecution in the future, even temporary difficulties. But what it promises in the end will be eternal good. It promises heaven. Today, the mission and the message of Pentecost remains the very same. The priests and bishops who succeed from the apostles call to the same faith, preach the same truths, speak of the same pathway, and promise the same promises. And at the same time, the very means remain the same as well. The normal means of sanctification have been handed down to us. The sacraments, these wellsprings of graces, these great treasures which we labor to provide as often as possible for the faithful far and wide. But ultimately, it is the choice of the individual of which fountain they are to drink from. I announced at the start of the sermon that next Sunday is Trinity Sunday, the last day to fulfill one's Easter duty. For most, it is not an issue, as many opportunities have come and been taken advantage of to receive Holy Communion worthily. But for some, whether here or elsewhere, perhaps the choice to return to the sometimes bitter but life-giving waters looms larger. The draw of that sweetness of the second stream remains very strong in their minds. And to all of us, this Easter duty that comes to an end on Trinity Sunday, it serves as a reminder. Holy Mother, the Church mandates this yearly communion as a minimum to ensure that her members do not wander too far away from the flowing waters of grace, that the normal means of sanctification in the sacraments are not abandoned, are not forgotten, are not left behind. Yet this is merely a minimum. This is only to ensure that one does not wander so far away that they can't find their way back again. Her true desire is that being called to drink from this primary stream, that they will love the salutary effects that take place in their soul. They will recognize these benefits and return again and again. They will begin to long for it. They will love being washed clean and made beautiful by frequent confessions. They will find the strength and rejuvenation and invigoration of regular Holy Communions to be something that they search for as often as possible. And they will ensure that whenever that time comes, their final strength and comfort in their last days is provided not by nice words, but by soothing unction given in the sacraments of the Church. The call goes out today And it goes out as much as the apostles called from the porch of the cenacle. The waters of sacramental graces beckon you to flow ever sure, as they had always done before. These, the normal means of sanctification, they are a way for you to merely bend down and to drink from them. And then, yes, at times, can the taste be bitter? At first, yes, it may. Might it require some sacrifice on your behalf, time and effort, and even some difficulties along the way? Change of life, perhaps, ever changing to draw ourselves nearer to Christ. Could it require a turning away from the allure of the sweetness of the world? Yes, it does. But the good effects for our soul and the eternal promise of eternal bliss, these are what await you by making that choice. And the draw of the good stream, if understood well, remains as strong as ever and sits ready to feed you all. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.